I messed up. Hold on. Sorry.
I'm holding on.
That was my respect to Jesse Bates. Don't let their best player wreck the game. We had a couple other things for Jesse. I don't know why more people don't know about him, but, you know, he's arguably one of the top players in the league, and he wrecked week one. If you watched week one last year, he damn near won it by himself. Two picks, almost got a third, fumble, forced fumble late. And the way the game was going, you know, we were able to stay ahead, and it allowed us to not try to let him affect it. He texted me, he said, "You caught me sleeping right before the half." I said, "Yeah, you lull you to sleep, get disinterested," and we set him up on that situationally. But he's a great player. You know, sometimes it's just very practical. Our Jason Bourne, TJ Watt, wrecked the game. Theirs didn't. And that's kind of what the story of the game really was.
So maybe I'm not the only guy who thinks, hey, how do I not lose this? It sounds like that was Arthur Smith's approach to last weekend's game. It was a great question asked of Arthur Smith. Why no throws in the middle of the field? We've all seen the next-gen chart that's flying around social media right now, where you've got all of Justin Fields' completions from last week up the right sideline, up the left sideline, in the flats on the right and left, and then a big square in the middle with nothing. Someone tweeted out that it looked like one of those MLB boxes, the strike zones, for a pitcher that's going to get sent down to the minor leagues. Nothing within the middle. Nothing within that strike zone. As Mike Tomlin would say, if you will. And that freaked out Steelers fans. It did. For a minute, it freaked me out. Why? Because that's all we've seen the last few years. Ben Roethlisberger at the end of his career with Randy Fichtner. Ben Roethlisberger at the end of his career with Matt Canada did not throw the ball into the middle of the field. More so than Justin Fields did in his first game as a Steeler, but nowhere near as much as Ben did over the course of his career. Just no throws in the middle of the field. Last season, we saw it a little bit more with Mason Rudolph, where he would throw the ball, put it in harm's way in the middle of the field. At least that's the way Mike Tomlin would characterize it. When you put the ball in the high traffic areas, then you are putting it in harm's way. And so I think Steelers fans, and for a brief moment myself included, we looked at that and went, oh my God, more of the same. This has to come from the top. This has to be Mike Tomlin's conservative approach. We're going on three straight years where the Steelers don't attack the middle of the field, don't keep defenses honest, and now Arthur Smith, while he's using a bunch of tight ends, Arthur Smith, while he is clearly a more creative, more thoughtful, more of an intentional offensive coordinator than is Matt Canada, than is Randy Fichtner, both of whom still don't have jobs, it's going to wind up looking a lot like it has the last few years because it's Mike Tomlin's decision. Mike Tomlin doesn't want the ball going into the high traffic areas. And I am going to be clear on this. It may well be the case that that's what Mike Tomlin wants. That Mike Tomlin does not want the ball to go into the middle of the field, regardless of whether it's Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. That still could be the case. However, I am willing to wait and see with Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith has buttered his bread in the middle of the field in his career calling plays. He loves the tight ends. He loves the play action. When you got play action, when you're using tight ends, you're generally attacking the middle of the field. Now, it's not a place that Justin Fields has excelled in his career. It's not a place of the field where Russell Wilson has excelled in his career. Neither quarterback's particularly effective throwing the ball between the hash marks, which always kind of made both dudes a little weird in terms of the fit here with Arthur Smith. But correct me if I'm wrong, I've now watched this game a couple of times. Justin Fields didn't ever look into the middle of the field. I don't think that was a Justin Fields thing. I am taking Arthur Smith, for now, at face value. But if you're a Steelers fan and you don't want to do that, if you're a Steelers fan and you're scarred by the last few years, I totally get that. If you don't want to believe Arthur Smith, if you think that this is Mike Tomlin's fingerprints being all over the offense, I can't blame you. But I want to know where you come down on this at 412-928-9370. Is this just more of the same for the Steelers? Or was this actually a really shrewd game plan for Arthur Smith. 412-928-9370. I'm going to give Arthur Smith a little benefit of the doubt here because of his track record, of his history, because of the way he wants to utilize and attack the middle of the field. And I'm going to buy his explanation that you heard right there at the top of the show. Jesse Bates, really good. A ball-hawking safety, wrecked a game last year to start the season, and oh, by the by, Justin Simmons, whom they gave money to just before the start of the year, also really damn good. So it sounds to me like Arthur Smith going into a game with a quarterback who had one walk through practice, just said, okay, we're not going to lose the game offensively. And again, that is something that you've not really heard, but seen over the last few years. When the Steelers turn the ball over more than their opponent, they lose. When the Steelers force more turnovers than their opponent, guess what? They win. And the numbers are stark. When they lose the turnover battle the last few years, 0-15-1. So we've seen it before, but I buy the explanation from Arthur Smith. And I think we're going to find out this week if he's a liar, liar, pants on fire, or if he is legit. Again, I'm erring on the side of legit, but we're going to find out this week, and I'll tell you how. If Arthur Smith is as smart as I think he is, and Dorn and I like this hire, I think, more than most in the general public, and I know Dorn and I like this hire more than most people on our radio station and even nationally did. You know, a lot of people wanted the young hotshot offensive coordinator. I wanted a guy who could command respect. And I never minded when the Steelers said we're going to zig when everyone else is zagging and run the ball and play defense. I just wanted them to do it better. So understand where this is coming from. I've always been a fan of the Arthur Smith hire. But here's how we'll find out this week. Last season, the Denver Broncos rushing defense was third worst in the NFL. They gave up 137 rushing yards per game. That's what the Steelers had last week against the Atlanta Falcons. We know the Steelers fancy themselves a good running football team, and we know that the Steelers are going to stay committed to it. That was the most impressive thing, I thought, last week in regards to the running game. It wasn't super effective, but they stuck with it. I don't know that that would have happened the last few years. If the Steelers stay committed to the run this week, if the Steelers utilize play action off of that, and the Steelers attack the middle of the field, then you'll know that Arthur Smith is calling some of these shots on offense and that Mike Tomlin might be keeping his hand out of it. The Broncos rush defense last week against the Seattle Seahawks gave up 146 yards. So they had a leaky rush defense last year, didn't fix it this offseason, doesn't look like. And oh, by the by, Geno Smith, who is nowhere near the runner that Justin Fields is, had what has to be the longest touchdown run of his career, college or professional. I've watched just about every single snap Geno Smith's ever taken. He's not a runner. He'll get a first down every now and again, extend drives, but he's not a running threat per se. Had a long one last week. He ain't no Justin Fields. So if Arthur Smith keeps the ball away from Patrick Surtain, who is by far their best defensive player, runs the ball, and attacks the middle of the field, then you will know he's got his fingerprints all over this thing, and maybe Mike Tomlin is staying out of it. 412-928-9370. Last week, Patrick Surtain, we're getting in the weeds here, baby, followed DK Metcalf all around the field. Last season, he was not doing that. But week one, he follows DK Metcalf all around the field. Metcalf went 3 catches, 29 yards on 4 targets. Last week, we see the Steelers avoid Jesse Bates. We see the Steelers avoid Justin Simmons. We see the Steelers stay out of the middle of the field. This week, I think you move Pickens around, and you see if Surtain follows him, let's say, into the slot. Move him from one side of the field to the other. See if Surtain follows him. Try to create matchups not against Surtain. And when you do have matchups against Surtain, maybe you stay away from George Pickens, weird as that might sound, this week, because that's the guy on the other team that can burn you. If you see that, that means that Arthur Smith is true to his word, and he is game planning for a specific opponent, which is what I think you want to see and what I think you haven't seen in previous seasons. So try to get Pickens away from that guy, and when you can't, avoid him because he'll take the ball away from you. Run the ball in a bad rush defense, mix in a bunch of quarterback run because they can't defend that either, and then utilize play action over the middle of the field. This should be a game where Pat Freiermuth hopefully plays up to his contract. If you're seeing these things as the game unfolds on Sunday, you should be very happy, Steelers fans. And if you don't, if they don't attack the middle of the field, if that passing chart on the next-gen stats looks like it did last weekend, then I think we should all be worried because that means that Mike Tomlin is up to his old tricks, and Mike Tomlin is keeping this offense conservative. 412-928-9370. I want your thoughts on that. Do you believe Arthur Smith, or do you think this is a Mike Tomlin thing, and it's just the beginning of going back to the past? 412-928-9370. You can weigh in on that. Also, we've got a lot of backyard brawl talk today, which we'll start getting into at 6:35. But up next, the big story from last night, Tua Tagovailoa, again, concussed. What does this mean for the rest of his career? What does this mean in the AFC this season?
21 points, 4th and 4. Pressure. Tua steps up. He's going to run for the first down and takes a shot at the 6-yard line. Hamlin hit him. And Tua down. Picked up the first, split the seam.
If you missed it last night, looks like a concussion again for Tua Tagovailoa. And the guy who hit him was DeMar Hamlin, which I don't know about you, makes me sick to my stomach. And then after the game, and even during the game on the social media, a ton of people saying that's got to be it for Tua. Can't play football again. He's got to hang him up. We know he has the history of concussions. We know what happened to him a couple of years ago. It's frightening, no doubt about it. We are learning more about concussions every day. We are learning more about CTE every day. But I'm never going to tell a guy to hang him up. That's his decision. If you want to do something that is detrimental to your health, that you get paid swimmingly for, and you are presumably informed about, then go ahead and do it. But I'll be very clear on this. If Tua does walk away from the game, I don't begrudge him. I don't begrudge anybody who does it the other way. And when Andrew Luck retired, and there were people calling him to the carpet based on the timing, letting his brothers down, this and that. Look, no one is going to be a bigger advocate for you than you. And so if Tua wants to keep playing, that's his decision. If Tua wants to hang him up, that's his decision. I'll respect it either way. But doesn't it give you that pit in your stomach? Doesn't it make you nauseous? And doesn't it make you think a little bit different about watching football when it's DeMar Hamlin that hurts him? Not that there was any intent or anything like that, but it just, I know personally for me, got my brain spinning in a bunch of different directions. DeMar Hamlin, a guy who died on the football field, showed a lot of courage, made his decision, came back, I respect the hell out of him, to play football. Hurts a guy who really did the same thing. I haven't watched football the same way since the DeMar Hamlin incident. I haven't watched less football. It hasn't made me avoid watching games. But I do think about it often in the back of my head. When you see a big hit, when you see something that doesn't look right, yeah, I think about it all the time now. And really before then, even after Shazier, I didn't think about those things. All the best to Tua. Scary situation. I think people need to respect whatever decision he may make for his career because it's his life when you really think about it. Now, as for the balance of power in the AFC, which is obviously less important than a guy's brain health, I just don't see the Dolphins being able to do much of anything without Tua. And one thing I do think we all should know for certain is they're going to slow play this. So is Tua going to be back next week? I would say absolutely not. Is he going to be back in the following weeks? You really don't know. I would think, educated man as I am, that you're not going to rush him back in any way, shape, or form. This is going to be something that's going to take a long time. You're going to slow play it at the very least, and maybe he never plays again. I don't know. I don't feel even comfortable speculating about that, but they're taking it easy on the guy, which is going to affect things in the AFC. Oh, I had the Dolphins penciled in as a playoff team. Now, they got a great scheme. They got a great play caller. They got a ton of speed, obviously, on that offense. I don't think without Tua, they're all of a sudden going to up and up stink. But they've faded down the stretch in each of the last few seasons. They've proven not to be a physical football team each of the last few seasons. And that's when they, at least last year, had Tua down the stretch. So if he misses considerable time, for me, that takes a team out of the playoff race. And you hate to frame it in this way, especially when I've talked about the seriousness of brain injury and all that. It's not bad for the Steelers. You never root for such things to happen, but when they do, you talk about them and how it affects the football team that you care about every single day. And that's, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Lamar Jackson gets hurt. We talk about it. It benefits the Steelers. You don't root for it. It benefits them. When Nick Chubb goes down, it sucks. You don't want to see it. You love watching a guy like Nick Chubb. You love watching Tua Tagovailoa's deep ball to Tyreek Hill. But it affects the Steelers. And I think if he misses considerable time, I think it pulls them out of the playoff contention. 412-928-9370. Back on the topic of the Steelers not attacking the middle of the field last week. Here's a texter. And you can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Not being able to throw the ball in the middle of the field is laughable. It's the NFL. Find people who can. Always an excuse. I'm not making excuses for anything. If the Steelers don't attack the middle of the field this week, I think it says a lot about who's making the calls. Who's calling the shots, I guess, would be the better way of putting it. Arthur Smith's calling the plays. Arthur Smith is coordinating the offense. But if the ball's not in the middle of the field this week, it's probably because Mike Tomlin says, don't want the ball in the middle of the field. And I can't wait to see what happens. And I'm not asking for a lot. Can you throw it in the middle of the field 3 or 4 times? You didn't do it once last week. And I got the explanation from Arthur Smith. It's a good explanation from Arthur Smith. You should want an offensive coordinator that is game plan specific for a particular opponent. They've been missing that the last few years. That's the NFL today. When you've got specialization defensively, when you've got a bunch of different formations you're going to throw out offensively, more than ever before, you should be trying to attack the opposing team's weaknesses. We have not seen that at all the last 3 years. At all. Arthur Smith says that's what happened last week. Let's avoid disaster. Let's avoid their best players. Let's not lose the game. And what happened? They executed that game plan to a T, and they were thoughtful about when they did take shots. Like at the end of the first half to George Pickens, which was a great throw by Fields, but that was schemed up. Fields moved, they moved the pocket on Fields to the left, sets his feet, howitzer across the field. It's a great play call. It's great execution. They were thoughtful about when they were going to do it. But again, not down the middle of the field, not up the seam, sideline. That's good offensive coordinating. If this week they aren't attacking the middle of the field, that is bad offensive coordinating. And yet, I think I'll blame the head coach because it will be a continuation of a pattern that we've seen far too often the last 50 games or so for the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is not the week to attack the number one corner. And I get it. AJ Terrell, really good. Patrick Surtain did such a good job of shadowing DK Metcalf last week, they only targeted the guy 4 times. You go into a game, you're thinking, we're targeting DK Metcalf more than that. You want to, at least. You want to get the ball in your playmaker's hands. They didn't, because he was all over DK Metcalf. And when he did, 3 catches, 29 yards. So you're going to have to go someplace else to find your offense this week, and that someplace else should be the middle of the field. And again, Geno Smith ran for a long touchdown in the game. Justin Fields, much better runner than Geno. I want to see a lot more QB run in this game. Saw it at times last week. Fields rushed for 57 yards. I want to see more volume. If you're seeing those things, arrow pointed up on one Arthur Smith. If it's looking a lot like it did last week, then Mike Tomlin's got his fingerprints all over this offense. 412-928-9370. You could tweet me at underscore Adam Crowley. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. If you listen to the pre-show today, you know that I am a paranoid loser. I am afraid of my own shadow. It is Friday the 13th. If I see a black cat today, I may well drop dead in the street. But I'm not the only guy who's paranoid. There's someone else in this town that also might be a little crazy. But I think it underscores the importance of a big moment. I'll tell you what I mean when we come back.
Weather was really nice all week, but you went inside to practice. Is that just being extra careful?
Extra careful, you know, paranoid. You got people in the hills. I mean, they live in the hills, so we got, you know, binoculars. Yeah. Mountaineers, man, they're up there, right in the mountains, right there. So, you know, you got to, you know, hey, take, you know, nothing for granted. We were inside. You're exactly right. So, good observation. Were you up there on the hill trying to look too?
Yeah. Interview some of those guys.
Pat Narduzzi, keeping it light. I think that was Jerry DePaulo with the question. He's covered Pitt for a long time, does an excellent job. The phrasing of the question was just perfect. Just perfect. Beanie Bishop, All-American corner at West Virginia last year, and boy, do they miss him, said that Narduzzi has Pitt inside because he is afraid that Zach Frazier, Beanie Bishop, Doug Nestor, the right tackle from West Virginia last year, boy, do they miss him, are all on the Steelers, Nestor on the practice squad. He's afraid, Narduzzi is, that they're going to be passing trade secrets. That they're going to do a little covert mission there. And I love it. As a paranoid freakazoid myself, I respect the hell out of what Pat Narduzzi is doing. Because not only are you guarding against the unlikely, but you are also signifying to your team what this game means. You didn't do it for Cincinnati. You didn't do it for Kent State. You're not going to do it for North Carolina. You're not going to do it for Boston. Well, maybe you will because of Dino Tomlin. But you're not doing it for your regular run-of-the-mill games. You're doing it for the big one. For the Backyard Brawl, the 107th edition. Ain't nobody spying. Ain't nobody in the hills. That's not happening. But what you've done now is you show your team, this one's different. We're not practicing outdoors. Beautiful week. We're not doing it. We're staying inside because, what do they say about the SEC? Feels different. It's bigger. I forget what they're saying is. It should be we've ruined college football, but that's neither here nor there. We, along with the TV networks, have screwed the sport you love. Anyhow, Pat Narduzzi is sending a message to his team that this one's different. Pat Narduzzi also asked if he remembers last year, if that fuels this year, and he said, I don't forget. So he's got revenge on his mind. Neil Brown trying to find a way to motivate his team, as if both teams shouldn't be motivated enough already. But Neil Brown trying to find a way to motivate his team has focused, from my understanding, all week long on the game 2 years ago, the Devonshire pick six, in a game that West Virginia really feels like they let get away. They had a fourth in inches. They didn't go for it. They punted it. It's a decision that was discussed a ton here locally in Pittsburgh and discussed ad nauseum in West Virginia. Keaton Slovis, of all people, Keaton Slovis, goes 92 yards, puts the ball in the end zone. So Neil Brown has used that game as motivation. Pat Narduzzi has used last year's game as motivation. And I love it. This is what rivalry is all about. They don't like us. We don't like them. Now for the game. And we'll get into this. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette is going to join us at 8 o'clock. He'll talk Steelers with us. He'll talk Pitt with us. He's uniquely qualified to do both because he covers both for the Post-Gazette. So we'll get back into the Brawl talk a little bit later on in the show. But for now, I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a shootout. But unlike a lot of other people, seemingly, and the bettors and Vegas, I could see it being a blowout on either side as well. Here's how Pitt blows West Virginia out. It could happen. West Virginia's pass defense, they've got 11 transfers in the two deep. Their two starting corners are transfers. Much more talented, much deeper than West Virginia's been in the secondary in recent years. But also it's taking them a while to get up to speed and understand this defense. Pitt's offense has been explosive. 300 yards passing from Holstein in each of the last two games. You've got Desmond Reed as the number one all-purpose yardage leader in college football on a per-game average. Pitt's passing attack, totally night and day from last year. Complete 180. Last season you had a tight end throwing footballs. This year you might have a rising star. So how's that lead to a blowout? Pitt hits a couple of big plays early before West Virginia figures it out defensively. They're still smarting. Their transfers are still trying to figure it out. And then that takes West Virginia out of what they want to do, which is control the clock, run the football. Now, I think Garrett Green, West Virginia's quarterback, can pick teams apart dropping back and throwing. We have seen that before, but that's not their game script. They want to run the ball, and they want to take big shots off play action after running the ball. If Pitt gets up 10-0, 14-0, game script totally goes out the window, and I think that's how it could lead to a Pitt blowout. If West Virginia were to blow Pitt out, which I think is also on the table, it's because Eli Holstein, the guy I just said a whole ton of good things about, turns the ball over a few times. He's thrown interceptions in the red zone in each of the last two games, and according to Pro Football Focus, this didn't surprise me because we've seen it, Eli Holstein leads the country in turnover-worthy plays. He has 8 through two games. At some point, the real turnover number gets closer to the expected turnover number. Will it be this game? Can West Virginia do it? I don't know. But if West Virginia were to blow Pitt out, that's what it would look like. Eli Holstein giving the ball in a big moment to the other team. This is a redshirt freshman. He did not play well in the first half last week. That's how things would snowball. If it looked like the first half of last week, this week against West Virginia. Now, if it is a close game and Pitt wins, I think it's because of West Virginia's pass defense and Pitt's home run hitters, of which they have a few. If Pitt loses, like I said, Eli Holstein turns the ball over a couple of times. West Virginia more experienced at quarterback, obviously, than Pitt is. I'm expecting a good game. I'm expecting a much more aesthetically pleasing game than last year where both teams had 211 total yards of offense. I think one, if not both of these teams, will have 211 yards or more in the first half. Pitt's got a new quarterback from last year. Pitt's got a new running back from last year. West Virginia's got a quarterback that played a few snaps in a game last year. So basically a new quarterback that Pitt's facing and a running back who led all college football rushers last season in yards per carry. So both teams look a lot different than they did last season in Morgantown. And all of us should be thankful for that because last season made us want to gouge our eyes out. We'll get more into the backyard brawl later. Actually, we'll get more into it in the next segment because we have a show bet. People have asked, Crowley, if West Virginia loses, if Pitt wins, what are you going to do? Crowley, if West Virginia wins and Pitt loses, what's Doran going to do? I haven't run this by Doran yet. I think he's going to like it. I'll tell you what I'll do at least if Pitt wins the football game. I think you're all going to love that. 412-928-9370 if you want to chime in. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Who do you think is going to win the game? You can vote at underscore Adam Crowley.
Sorsby barks. Back with a snap. Sets up. Fires it over the middle. It is caught. They lateral. And they get it at the 35. Panthers miss a tackle, miss another. Turning it to the 34-yard line. They throw it. And it's
ball game, baby. Let's go.
Ball game.
Hail to Pitt.
Ball game.
Hail to Pitt.
Look at those Panthers celebrate, and the Pitt fans celebrate as well. One of the greatest comebacks in the history of University of Pittsburgh football we have witnessed at Nippert Stadium today.
Hey, Cincinnati. Hey, student section. I heard a lot of eat, you know what, Pitt. Eat that.
They're calling it the Nip Slip. At Nippert Stadium last weekend, Pitt's biggest comeback since 1971, and it sets the scene for what should be an awesome day on the North Shore tomorrow in the 107th edition of the Backyard Brawl. Dorn and I kind of have a show bet. We'll tell you about that coming up in 1 minute.
Eat that.
Pat Bostic, jacked up for the game.
Eat that.
Real quick, though, here's a text I got on the Steelers, and I like this question on the text line. At 412-928-9370. Should the Steelers trade one of their quarterbacks to Miami? Tua Tagovailoa goes down in the game last night. Should the Steelers trade Justin Fields or Russell Wilson to the Dolphins? I'm going to say no for a couple of reasons. One, I think this cripples significantly the Dolphins' playoff chances, and I don't think the Steelers are winning the division. I don't think Miami was winning the division. So they're a wild card team, and you're jockeying. So I don't want to help them. I don't think you'd get a massive return either. Not to mention, they're not going to trade for Russell Wilson, who's 36 years old and has now re-injured the calf that he injured in training camp. So you'd be trading them Justin Fields, who I think might be your future quarterback. So I'm not doing it. A good question, a fair question. I ain't doing it. 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And yeah, it's 6:52, time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia, see what they can do for you. As for our bet for the Backyard Brawl, Doran still owes us a West Virginia tattoo somewhere on his body, the bet we made last year for the game. I have no doubt that Doran will do it. We've talked about this a bunch. It just hasn't happened yet. He's going to do it. I think he might have something up his sleeve. Pun intended. I think he might be doing a West Virginia 13-9 kind of tattoo, but he does need to get a West Virginia-related tattoo. I expect him to get it done. Here's what I'm going to do if West Virginia loses the football game. I'm going to sit down in our theater over here, in our Odyssey Pittsburgh headquarters, and I am going to watch the 13-9 game from start to finish for the first time ever in my life since the game happened live. Haven't watched it since then. We brought it up yesterday. Ben Tenuta, who's our social media guru and czar here, he came up with the idea yesterday. I was talking about how I'd never seen it. He said, you got to watch it from start to finish. What I would like to propose to Doran is he has to watch the 2009 game from start to finish. And, of course, this will be a big social play. There'll be cameras, the whole nine. Maybe we'll make it a thing where I watch it with Pitt fans or he'd have to watch it with West Virginia fans. I think that's a hell of a bet because I don't want to watch that thing. I'd rather claw my eyes out. I'd rather claw them out than eat them, than poop them out and eat that, than have to watch 13-9 for the first time since it actually happened. And because I hate that so much, I think that makes for a great bet. And he should have to watch the 09 game where West Virginia walked in won on a walk-off field goal 19-16. You like that? 412-928-9370. Callis, do you like that? I think that's a great bet.
Great bet.
Great bet. And I think, oh, God, your stupid ass will be sitting there next to me watching 13-9, and you get under my skin anyhow, you would be driving me up a doggone wall.
That's why it's a great bet. Because I never watched it, so it'll be anticipatory.
You never watched it?
No.
What year were you born?
98.
So you were 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm still not as invested in college football now, but definitely wasn't back then.
You aren't going to like the game either because it wasn't a fun watch.
Oh, I'm going to like it. Come on. I'll be sitting next to you. It'll be great.
If you are a Pitt fan, and of course there's a lot of Pitt fans listening, this is the flagship radio station here in Pittsburgh. Here's one thing that should, I think, boost your confidence. Before the season, early line, West Virginia favored by 5.5. When the week opened, West Virginia favored by 3. Now West Virginia's favored by 1. A lot of money's coming in on Pitt, and the money line is even. It doesn't always mean something, but a lot of times, it's a pretty good indicator. You got a lot of smart people, a lot of big money people betting on the Pittsburgh Panthers in this game. So it should make you feel better if you're showing up wearing the Pitt script on Saturday. We transition back to the professional football team in this town. Who do I think is going to win the game? I'll tell you coming up next. And then it's our Friday vibe check, where you call in at 412-928-9370 and you tell me how you're feeling about the game. You give a prediction. You give some specific guarantees. Who do you think is going to play well or poorly for the Steelers? Which team do you think comes away with the dub in Denver on Sunday afternoon? 412-928-9370. Vibe check. And the best caller wins a pair of tickets to an awesome event. Let's have ourselves a dialogue when we come back. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500. 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms, sunchevy.com.